Major League Baseball's off season well into it right now, and a bunch of teams remaking their rosters. The Blue Jays did a whole bunch before the winter meetings, didn't do a whole lot at the winter meetings, by which I mean they did nothing at the winter meetings, and there is still a lot to do. Mike Wilner was at the winter meetings in San Diego and joins me on the line right now. Hello, Michael.
Oh.
Hi. How was San Diego?
That's lovely. You know, it was very nice, nice, warm. It wasn't super hot or anything, but it's, you know, beautiful. There wasn't a cloud in the sky until Thursday, the day we left. Not that you get to go out and enjoy the city very much, but it's nicer to work where it's nice and warm and sunny. Yeah.
You missed a snowstorm. Or no, I guess you were back for that.
I was back for the end of it.
Yeah.
It led to some nice delays in my return home. But yeah, so I was affected by the snowstorm for sure.
It was a pretty busy winter meetings, not for the Blue Jays, but for the Dodgers, for the Red Sox, for a lot of teams going out and doing some stuff. The Marlins, I guess you could say, was busy as well. What was the move that stood out for you? Was it the Matt Kemp deal?
I don't know. You know what? I didn't think it was just the Dodgers just going nuts that last night, Wednesday night. You just, every time you turn around, they'd made another trade, and it was really exciting. It was kind of crazy, and it was fun, and you know, good for Andrew Friedman and his gang of merry men, I guess. You know, you get Rollins, you make the Marlins deal, Kemp. It was one after another after another after another. The Howie Kendrick swap, which kind of surprised me, but that was like old school winter meetings action, and it was awesome.
Do you think Andrew Friedman, he's just like a kid in a candy store, right? Like he's never had this kind of flexibility to be able to do whatever he wants with monopoly money. And by gum, he's going to do whatever he wants because he has the ability to.
Yeah, I guess so. And you know, maybe we're giving him a little too much credit. I mean, he's not the GM and he's certainly the overseer of everything. And it's really the gang of merry men, if you will. It's a group of creative, excited young guys who are trying to make things happen, and he's the leader of that group. But I mean, as much as he's got unlimited resources, he still had to deal Kemp and free up $80 million that way. So they're not operating with complete and utter disregard for everything, but they can basically do whatever they want and get whatever they want.
We will get to the Red Sox and maybe some of the rest of the American League East in a sec. But let's talk about the Blue Jays and their lack of activity at the winter meetings. And Alex Anthopoulos talked about it not being his favorite place or the most conducive place to doing business, in his opinion. The Blue Jays didn't do anything. They watched some relievers get paid a lot of money, Mike. I'm not going to advocate that the Blue Jays should have blown their brains out for either Andrew Miller or David Robertson.
David Roberts.
No. Or Luke Gregerson, for that matter.
Yeah.
But there still remains some big-time holes on this team, especially in the bullpen.
Yeah, and then there still remain 3 months before anything matters. So there are still a lot of names on the board as far as free agent relievers go. And a lot of good ones. And, you know, so Alex had said towards the end of the meetings that he thinks chances are he'll be getting those relievers in trade more than on the free agent market. I still am kind of holding out hope that he goes after a guy like a Jason Mott or an Alexi Agondo, who are two guys who I find really, really intriguing and might be very, very helpful big pieces, but not guys you can count on to stick at the end of your bullpen and say, okay, this guy's my closer. They picked up Wilton Lopez on a minor league contract yesterday, which is another very interesting pickup. He's a guy who has had some terrific years out of the bullpen in Houston, went to Colorado and got awful, but a lot of people go to Colorado and get awful. And now that he's out of there, might be another option at the back of the pen. But, you know, it just wasn't, you know, the money for Miller, for Robertson, for Gregerson, for Neshek, just too much. It really just was too much. And the Blue Jays are looking at guys who are almost as good, potentially as good, for a lot less money. And what I think may wind up coming out of it still, if, at least for a year, is maybe they go out and get a starter.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about.
Yeah, and Aaron Sanchez becomes your closer for a year. And the more relief names keep coming off the board, the likelier I think that that's a possibility.
Listen, I'd like to see Aaron Sanchez as a starter, but I don't think it's fait accompli that he is as successful as a starter as he was as a reliever. We know the secondary stuff is not out of this world, like the 99-mile-an-hour sinker, and it's not going to be 99 if he's in the rotation, that sinker ball. And you look at the minor league numbers as a starter, they don't blow you out of the water. He was so good in that role last year, Mike. I wonder if that's not the best way for the Blue Jays to go.
He's never going to be that good again. I mean, he had a whip of like 0.57 or something, and striking out everybody, 9 walks. It was an amazing run for Aaron Sanchez, and I don't think he'll ever duplicate that. But the Blue Jays seem pretty confident that a tweak that they made over his, I think, with 4 or 5 minor league starts left before he got called up, really changed things, and it got him in the strike zone, and it got the walks down, and it got him to stop missing as much, and it really improved everything. And Alex was telling us, he mentioned this a couple of times, that he went down to see him in New Hampshire after the correction had been made, and he came away saying that he's just as good, if not better, than any one of their major league starters right now. And so they're very, very excited about what he has the potential to do. But it's also hard to ignore what he did in the bullpen, especially when you have the gaping hole that they have right now at the back there. So I think that that's always going to be kind of a temptation for them. And even though he'll come to spring training and start as a starter, depending on the moves that they make between now and April 3rd, he very easily could wind up being a closer for 1 year.
Talking to Mike Wilner on Sportsnet today, Sportsnet Radio Network. This Jed Lowry thing not going to happen, I guess? I haven't heard much on it.
Yeah, no, I don't think the Jed Lowry thing is going to happen.
Well, that stinks. Mike, like, because right now, you look at 6, 7, 8, 9, that's, I mean, sure, I don't think anybody knows really what Dalton Pompey is going to be. If he's what he was in his small sample size last year, a lot of those question marks are erased. You got a big question, though. I think Michael Saunders is, and now you got differing opinions on that, especially against lefties. I think he's a big question mark if you're going to trot him out there every day. Justin Smoke is your DH. I think 6, 7, 8, 9 on this Blue Jays team, you know, could be a big problem.
I think it's definitely a question for sure. I don't think it's likely to be a big problem, and I think 1 through 5 takes care of a lot of it. But again, we saw last year that you can have a strong 1 through 5, 1 through 6, and if the bottom is just getting out all the time, then you got issues. I don't think it's going to be that way. I think that, you know, Michael Saunders, again, look at the numbers. It was only 70 games last year. It's true. But he was the same hitter as Melky Cabrera in the overall in his 70 games as Melky was in his 130, which is not to say that he's going to come here and be great and be an all-star and hit 300, which he didn't do. But it is to say that for your 7 hitter, that's pretty good. I think, you know, you look at Justin's.
But what about his career on base of .279 against lefties?
Yeah, and that may wind up being an issue. And you know, they're saying now that he's going to be their everyday left fielder. And a month into the season, he may very well not be their everyday left fielder anymore. You know, if he can't hit lefties, then he's not going to play against lefties. And they'll change it up, and maybe that'll be a spot for Kevin Pillar or maybe somebody else. I think that Justin Smoke, you know, 2 years removed from a 20 homer season in Seattle. It's a terrible place to hit. I think that's a place that really gets in your head and changes who you are as a hitter for some people. I think that's what happened to him. I'm really, you know, looking for big things out of Justin Smoak. And again, a guy who has to hit sixth or seventh in the lineup, he'll always be up with runners on base with those guys hitting in front of him. For sure, he's an if. There's no question about that. But I'm not in the camp of all these people who are writing him off and saying he's terrible off of that one horrible year that he had with Seattle last season. And 8-9, you got to figure out what 8-9 are because, yeah. You know, Pompey, one would hope if he wins the job, and I'm confident he's going to,
yep. He's
not going to be a zero offensively. You know, he's not going to give you that Ryan Goins 450 OPS that Goins had in April last year that got him shipped back out to Buffalo. And I don't know who's going to play second base. But it's certainly the lineup, there's no question, is going to be very, very top heavy. Unless Smoak and Saunders kind of come through with the years that we hope they can have rather than the years that we expect that they'll have.
Mike, yeah, there's lots of time to go in the offseason, but the offense, I think you would agree, is probably not going to change. There's not going to be a starter brought in, it doesn't look like, before the start of spring training. So that being said, 1-9, you evaluate this offense on paper to the one the Blue Jays trotted out when healthy last year. This one's inferior, right?
I don't know if it is inferior.
Yeah.
You got nothing out of center field last year. You got nothing out of second base last year. So those are two positions here. You know, you hope that center will be a little bit better. Your DH first base combo is not as good.
Nope.
Because Edwin and Smoak isn't as good as Edwin and Lynn.
And as highly as you want to project Michael Saunders, he's not going to be as good as Melky Cabrera was last year.
Michael Saunders was 17 points lower than Melky Cabrera last year at OPS.
Yeah, in 70 games.
Yeah, in 70 games. But again, 17 points lower than Melky Cabrera. Had a better OPS plus and a better weighted runs created plus or whatever it was. So it's certainly no guarantee that Saunders isn't going to have that same year again next year. And Josh Donaldson is about conservatively 1,000 times better than Brett Laurie offensively at third base, and the combination at least of Laurie and Juan Francisco and Danny Valencia at third base was last year. So there's a huge, huge, huge leap up there. And I don't know. It depends on how you value Smoak's power relative to Lynn's power, because Adam Lind hit, what, 6 home runs last year?
Yeah.
And Smoak's going to hit a lot more than that. He's not going to hit for the average. He's not going to have an on-base over 400 or an OPS around 970 against righties like Lynn did. But he, you know, it's possible that he's a guy who has about a 330 on-base and hits about 25 home runs. You're definitely worse there. Are you as worse as you are better with Donaldson at third? I don't think so. So I think it could be not as big a drop-off as you think in the overall.
Okay, so let's say at best it's the same. Okay, maybe slightly better, maybe slightly worse. The rotation, I guess, is better, even though they haven't made any additions. But you get a full season of Marcus Stroman, and maybe Aaron Sanchez steps in and does a good job. But Jay Happ did a pretty good job. Drew Hutchison, full season of him. You had that last year. Maybe Mark Burley's not able to replicate what he did, especially early in the season last year. R.A. Dickey is R.A. Dickey. So the rotation's about the same, maybe slightly better. And the bullpen's, I guess, worse. But it's hard to project the bullpen because we expect it to look entirely different. But, Mike, when you're projecting at this point, isn't it difficult to say for sure that this season will be a success and an improvement on the 83 wins that the Blue Jays had a year ago?
Well, yeah, but it's December 13th.
Okay. But the only big area that you expect Alex Anthopoulos to go to work as the bullpen, right? Like, he's not going to do anything with that.
But don't forget, too, that the defense has greatly changed as well. But the defense in left field is now worlds better. The defense in center field is now much better. The defense at third base is not significantly worse. And the defense at first base is a lot better with Justin Smoke out there. And you hope that if they're smart about it and they actually follow through on the giving Jose Reyes a little bit of time off here and there and DHing him every once in a while, and you know, he doesn't have a season where he starts on the DL with a leg injury and gets worse from there, that he's going to be a little bit better. But even without that hope of Jose Reyes, you're significantly improved defensively at first, left, and center. And so that's going to help this team out a lot as well.
It's not all doom and gloom, though. I know I sound negative when I'm talking about the Blue Jays, because I look around at the other moves around the American League East, Mike, and that Red Sox rotation isn't scaring anybody, even despite the moves that they've made. Somebody tweeted out that this rotation that is currently constructed last year had an ERA combined of 4.5. Wade Miley was horrible. Rick Porcello's a nice addition. I like that. Clay Buchholz is coming off a horrible year. Justin Masterson was relegated to the bullpen. What did you see out of the Red Sox at the winter meetings, and how do you project them?
I kind of like Ruby De La Rosa and Alan Webster more than I like Wade Miley.
Right?
And the Red Sox brought in three pitchers in San Diego, and I don't like any of them. Porcello's fine, and he's young, and he's got a chance to be good, and I would have been thrilled if the Blue Jays had picked him up to be their fifth starter. Miley... I'm not going to say Wade Miley sucks. Nobody sucks in the major leagues. But he's Miley.
It's a relative sucking.
One good year out of, what, three in
yes.
the big leagues? And he's been terrible, too.
He pitched in the best division in baseball for a pitcher last year and was horrible.
Yeah. Who's it? Justin Masterson. I mean, we've seen Justin Masterson come to Toronto and carve up the Blue Jays on a regular basis, and maybe he continues to do that. He had a terrible year for Cleveland last year, and the Indians writers down at the meetings couldn't believe that he got $9 million from the Boston Red Sox. So they've done some interesting things, and they're still sitting there. They dealt Cespedes, so now they only have 8 starting outfielders. you figure that they were going to do something, some sort of big splash move, which they could still do. I mean, they could still bring in a James Shields. They could throw a big wackadoo at Max Scherzer. They could find a team that needs an entire starting outfield and trade one for a starting pitcher. But so far, I'm not in love with what the Boston Red Sox have done. The Yankees basically trading David Robertson for Andrew Miller.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Andrew Miller. No one can get enough Andrew Miller.
And 1 year.
1 year. 1 year. It's 1 year where he's walked fewer than 4.5 per 9 innings. It was a brilliant year for him. There's no question about it. But you can find all kinds of relievers who have a phenomenal year and a bunch of horrible years, and then they go back to having a bunch of horrible years, or they have a good year or two here and a bad year there. It's amazing how much baseball is sold on Andrew Miller. It's like they're ignoring everything you've seen about relief pitching over the last ever.
Yep.
He might be really good. He might go back to being the guy who walks 5.8 people per 9 innings and can't throw strikes.
But they got Didi Gregorius.
Didi Gregorius can catch the ball, and he can get on base a little bit against righties. I mean, he's certainly not going to be Derek Jeter, but he's young, and he's got some offensive potential. And they've got Alex Rodriguez coming back, so there's that, too.
I think it's tough to
evaluate the same way, that I'm saying it's December 13th when you talk about the Blue Jays.
Right.
It's December 13th for everybody else, too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, I would be shocked if the Yankees don't sign one of James Shields or Max Scherzer.
I'm thinking, although the Dodgers with the Kemp deal seem to have lined themselves up pretty well to make a run at Scherzer,
man.
I think the Yankees are going to try awfully hard to get him.
The Dodgers have all the pitchers. They have them all.
They do. But they may deal Greinke. We were hearing whispers about that, too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think it would be so bizarre if the Red Sox let John Lester walk. That's kind of misstating the facts.
No, they did. They blew it. They could have had him a
definitely.
Million times over.
Yeah, offering him $70 million bucks was an absolute joke and a half. In retrospect, actually, it was a joke and a half at the time as well.
They should have. They offer him 120. Then he takes it. They save $40 million.
Yep.
And but you know, they don't think that way. Remember, it's the recency effect. There's recency bias in everything. And John Lester was not coming off a good year, so they didn't think that they were going to have to pay him, and they were very, very wrong.
Yeah, and for that reason, I would be kind of surprised if they blew their brains out for Max Scherzer or James Shields.
Never underestimate the effect of panic.
And I guess it would be panicking. And we haven't even mentioned the Orioles as well, Mike, who lost a whole bunch this offseason. They've got to be worse, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people scoff at the Blue Jays pitching rotation, say there's no real number one there. There's no real number one on the Orioles either, and they won, what, 96 games last year or whatever it was, with a bunch of threes, basically. But
some great defense.
Someone pitching like a two and some great defense, right. And so, you know, now they still don't have a great pitching staff. They've lost... well, I guess they haven't lost parts of their great defense with Markakis and Cruz, but
No. They've
lost two of the three guys who played 155 games for them last year and were solid offensive performers. One of them was a major league leader in home runs, and they haven't done anything to replace him. I know Alejandro Diaz is going to replace, you know, the Orioles have a lot of work to do, and I'm very surprised that they didn't leave the winter meetings with Melky Cabrera or get in on some of the wild trade action to try to pick themselves up something, get in a three-way thing with the Red Sox to pick up a couple of outfielders that way. But they've got a lot of work to do.
The wild card in all of this in the American League East is the Tampa Bay Rays, who I think wildly underachieved. I still think they're a good team, especially when you look at that rotation, and we mentioned all the uncertainty in the other staffs in the American League. I think that offense underproduced last year, underperformed what I would have expected them to do. I think it's not as bad as it was last year. Will Myers, I think, should bounce back. Evan Longoria was horrible last year. He's not that bad. I think the Rays are primed to bounce back, Mike.
What's so good about the Rays rotation? I mean, is Chris Archer and Alex Cobb as your 1-2?
Yeah, Alex
Matt
Cobb's
Moore's
pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Matt Moore's coming off Tommy John surgery. You know,
Drew Smyly is underrated too.
Drew Smyly is underrated, but Drew Smyly is not a, you know, we're not talking about clear top of the rotation, big bunch of number one starters. I think that the Rays pitching staff is a lot better than it is because of that great defense that they have there, which hasn't changed really.
And people don't talk about how good the ballpark is as well for pitchers.
Everything out there helps them and makes them look a lot better. They don't have, I mean, Chris Archer, I love the stuff.
Love the socks.
Yeah, you can't not love the socks. But we're looking at guys who haven't had a full dominant year yet. There's really no head there. The offense, you're right, is bound to be a little bit better. Myers and Longoria and Desmond Jennings and guys like that. None of them had the years that they're capable of having. But Tampa continues to just not scare me. They just don't. Mm. And you know, I don't know that they've got enough offense to make it work, even with the pitching and the defense. They got rid of Joel Peralta, who was a huge, huge piece of their bullpen over the last number of years. And is Chase McGee going to have another year like that? 2 years ago?
Brad Boxberger, though.
Right, exactly. Right? San Diego cast off from last year. Jake McGee, was it last year or the year before that he had the ERA of like 0.8? He was Andrew Miller and then was just okay. So Tampa's got a lot of work to do, I think, too. And of course, the Joe Madden magic is gone now. So
right. No more medicine, man.
What that's going to mean.
Yeah. Kevin Cash, former Blue Jay.
Yep.
That'll be fun.
I remember Buck Martinez raving about Kevin Cash when Buck was the manager and Cash was in spring training in 2001 or two, and talking about how smart he is and what a great receiver and what a mind back there behind the plate. Who knew that, 13 years later, he was going to skipper a big league team before he turned 40.
I was kind of rooting for Raul Ibanez.
I was really rooting for Don Wakamatsu. I thought you know, he was a great guy to deal with when he was here, and he deserves another chance to be a big league skipper. And hopefully he'll get it.
Yeah, either that or professional calligrapher. Penmanship is, oh.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
Out of this world. Thank you, Michael. Enjoyed it, and welcome back to the horrible weather.
Why, thank you.